praise the Lord. Somebody give glory and honor to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe that God is here this morning and the Spirit of the Lord is here with us. Let's be seated and take our place and hear what God has to speak. Let's give a great hand to our worship team. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And as you know, this morning I want to talk about a God who is never late. So the sermon title for this morning is God is Never Late. If you have your phone or iPad or other instruments that you're using, you're going to follow the U version. It's a good idea to follow along what our great team has created for us. If you're going to read the Bible, Genesis 18, 19 to 15. Genesis 18, 19 to 15. This morning, I want to introduce to you the God that we serve, the God that I serve. I want to let you know what kind of a father he is to me and to my wife. I want to share to you how God has taken care of us. I want to tell you what he has done for us and even through us. I want to introduce you the kind of God that we serve. That he is our father, that he is our leader, that he is our protector, he is our provider, our family, my wife and I. We really love him. We really love God. This God has been great to us. And that's the God I want to introduce you this morning. The God that we know. The God that we are in relationship with. The God that who has come alongside us and has been with us. I hope that's the God that you serve too. That's the God that you know. And that's the God that you talk about. God is never late. God is never late. And I want to begin with this statement. God's timing may not be our timing, but God is never late. He always shows up at the right time. He always shows up at the right time. Friday night, during our family prayer time, one of my sons prayed, God, we have 3 days before we move to Santa Clara. I pray that our house will sell. His prayer took me to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as we were praying at night. Jesus was crucified on Friday. And he was resurrected on Sunday. That's 3 days. And in my heart, the Spirit is telling me, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. People who had seen our house before Friday, they were not interested. There were a couple of people that have gone, come and seen our house, and they were not interested. Nothing was happening on Saturday. Normally, Saturday, people come. There was nothing happening on Saturday. And I was thinking about my son's prayer. And the voice inside me, expect a miracle. I said, nothing. Saturday night before we went to sleep, there was a text message. And it says, house showing tomorrow at 12 to 1. It was around 10 p.m., I guess. We went to bed. And the next day was a big celebration because it was our last Sunday. We called it Harvest Sunday. We started with baptism, great preaching, ministry, laying of hands for both of us to come here. And then we have a big love meal feast together. We were just simply worshiping God that day. I wasn't thinking about the house anymore. The service got done around 2:30. I came back home and relaxed a little bit and opened my computer and checked the message. It was around 3:45 on Sunday. It said, That person is interested to buy the house. And they were going to make an offer. Then I say, 3 days. 3 days. Expect a miracle. They made an offer. We counter-offered. They accepted the offer to buy the house. You know, God is not late. God is not late. God is not late. He will not be late in your life. Sarah was 90 years old. And Abraham was 99, about 100 years old. What are the odds that Sarah will have a child at 90? And God is saying in the scripture in Genesis 18, verse 9 and 10, it says, "Where is Sarah, your wife? You know, I will return around this time next year, and you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child." See, God called Abraham when he was 75 years old. Sarah was 65 years old. When God called Abraham to say, "You know, you follow me. I'm going to show you a place, a better place." And he was 75. And Sarah was 65. He's going to be a great nation. The descendants are going to be more than the sands and the stars of the universe. But he has no child. He has no son. That promise that God made when he was 75, it was going to be fulfilled when? When he was 99. When Sarah was 90. How many years is that? You can do the math. It's like 25 years. Is that right? Your number, your head's working, right? That's a long time for the promise of God to be fulfilled. 25 years. Can you wait for 25 years? And you're saying, "Oh, I've forgotten that promise already. It's been 25 years now." You see, but God's not late. Sarah had a son. Abraham had a son, and his name was Isaac. His name was Isaac. On Veterans Day, we went to downtown San Jose with our family. Sarah and Mom walked in the parade, and my boys and Greg and his kids watched the parade together. It was a wonderful day to celebrate and remember and honor those who have served this greatest country in the world. Yes? Greatest country in the world. Amen. And we were not going to miss this for Sarah. Because one day when I picked up Sarah in the school, whenever she sees me, she's always so excited and waving, and "Daddy's so happy." That day she wasn't happy. The teacher came, opened the door, and dropped her in the car, closed the door, and she started crying. And she said, "You didn't come to school today. You didn't come to school today. Everybody's parent came to school today, and they saw the work of my classmates. You didn't come to school today." And she was crying. It was a grandparents' day. Other kids have grandparents. Sarah doesn't have a grandparent living with us. And there was nobody on that day to see the coloring, the numbers, the creation she had created. And she was crying in the car. It broke my heart. You know, I thought in the car, I should have arranged somebody, even though I don't have a grandparent, to go with her. It was too late then. It was too late then. But I tell you, God's never late. God is never late. He loves every children. And he will take care of you. He will show up at the right time for you. I may not be able to show up for my daughter when she needs me. I may break her heart. But God will not break our heart. God will show up at the right time. Always show up for us. Remember the story of Abraham and Isaac. So God gave a son to Abraham and Sarah. And he's going to be a great nation. And then God asked Abraham, I want you to take your son and go and sacrifice him. As a child, since I know the end of the story, it didn't really matter to me because the ending was good. But as an adult, I had a very difficult time understanding why God would ask such a thing to a father. I still do. Can I sacrifice my children? Can you sacrifice your only son? Can you sacrifice your only daughter? It's a difficult thing to do. So let's go back to Abraham and Isaac. They got up in the morning and they're going to go to Mount Moriah, the mountain, the area of Moriah on the mountain where God is going to show him. Having conversation. And Isaac is asking his father, where is the sacrifice? Where is the sacrifice? It wasn't like, are we there yet? No, it wasn't that, okay? Where is the sacrifice going to be? And Abraham answered, you know, you'll see, God will provide. Just wait and see. I wonder what was in his heart. What was in the heart of Abraham, the father, the only son here? And they went and he prepared and he tied Isaac up, put him on the altar, ready to sacrifice his only son. And when he was about to slay him, this is what the word of the Lord says in Genesis 22. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord came from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the lad. Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. You see, God is not late. He did not speak when Abraham had slain his son. At the right time, at the right moment, he just said, don't do anything to your son. Don't do anything to your son. God is never late. He always shows up right on time. One of the concerns that we have was to sell our house in Indiana, as I said. During the worship service on November 8th, I knew somebody was calling me, and there was, because my phone was vibrating, I didn't check. Yeah. After the worship service, I checked the phone and the text message and said, there is an email. And he said, your offer has been accepted. You have to reply before 4 p.m. We were here at church, 3 hours difference. 3 hours difference, right? We ran home, put on the internet, DocuSign. I signed at 12:56, I think. 12:56. And then it went to my wife. When she signed and got the confirmation back, 4:02. 4:02 seconds. God's not late. I realized then God is not late. So we got your confirmation, everything. 4:02 seconds. It was. And then we went out looking for a house now in Santa Clara. So we went out on Wednesday. And when my wife and we were driving on the road, we looked at each other, we prayed. And my wife had a good feeling that this was going to be our house. I think this is going to be our house. And I had that feeling too. I look at her and say, you got yourself a house today. We haven't even reached the house yet. We went in there and the realtor was there. And she opened the door. She opened the door and I stepped in the door, and she was there, and I looked at her and said, "This is going to be our house." That's the first word I told her. This will be our house. We looked around, and we made the offer on Wednesday night. And on Thursday, our offer was accepted. With a contingency, with the sale of the house in Indiana. There was a higher offer with no contingency, and they still accepted our offer. See, God is not late. God is never late, because at 10 p.m. on Wednesday night, we came for the youth mentors meeting, came back, and we talked to the realtor. It was around 10 p.m. making the offer. My realtor said to me, "You have 2% chance to get a house tomorrow. 2% chance." And I am thinking, 2% is pretty good to me. Yes. You know why? Because I thought about the 99 that Christ, you know, Christ left the 99 and looked, the good shepherd left for the 99, went for, looked for one sheep. I said, he went for one. I have 2%. That's like one more. I have a pretty good chance. I was like, okay. God made it happen. God is never wrong. That's my second point that I want to say. God is never wrong. God's ways are not our ways, but God is never wrong. What he says, he will do. After receiving the call to come and serve here at Santa Clara First Baptist Church, we started praying where we were going to live. Where are we going to live here? We wrote to Jerry and Sharon saying, they offered us to come and stay in their house. So we wrote back to them and say, "Is the offer still open?" And Jerry wrote back and say, "You can stay with us till December 14th. Can we say December 14th? Oh, come on. Thank you, ma'am. Can you say that again? December 14th? Yes. And I will talk more about living with the Sintas next Sunday. All the secrets are going to come out. And I'm going to preach next Sunday, God will provide, Jehovah Jireh. So the sermon will be a part of that. We left Indiana not knowing whether we'll sell our house, but we know we will be here. One thing I know, that when God called Abraham, he has a plan and purpose for him that he will provide for him. I know that in my heart, because God has called us to Santa Clara First Baptist, he's going to provide our need. So we came by faith here. We came by faith. It was like the faith that we moved from Michigan to Indiana. When God called us from Michigan to Indiana, we have not known where Fort Wayne was. We have never been to the city. We don't know where it was. But we accepted the call to go to Fort Wayne City without stepping a foot on there and knowing anybody in that city. But the Lord provided us for there. When we went and served there, God provided a house for us. And again, it is the same God that called us from Michigan to Indiana, and we knew that the God who called from Indiana to Santa Clara, California, would provide a place for us. Because he cannot be wrong. If he has worked with the search committee and the board and the church, he cannot be wrong for us to come out here and serve him. Coming to Santa Clara is a faith journey. Let me tell you that the God that I serve, my wife and serve, has never been wrong in our lives. Knowing such a God, I was not worried. I even wrote to the realtor, "Do not worry. Things will be okay. Our house will sell." I thank the Lord for that. Now, Sarah and Abraham were old, well advanced in age, Genesis 18, 11, 13. They have passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have the pleasure to have a child? And God would even say, why do you laugh? Why are you laughing? Did God get it wrong? Did God get it wrong when he said to Sarah that he will have a son? Did God get it wrong? Was God wrong? God is never wrong. And I want our children to see this. That's why we pray together. That's why we pray together. Our children, our kids have been involved in this journey from the beginning, because I want to introduce to them the God that we love, the God that we serve, the God who provides and takes care of us. So they have been in this journey. The relationship with Isaac and Abraham had, what a journey that has been. They would have talked about many, many times again about how God had provided for them. He would have learned from his father the faith journey, obeying and fully trusting in obedience to serve the Lord. And this is what I want us to see here in Santa Clara First Baptist Church. I want our children to know that they are loved. I want our children to know that God hears our prayer. I want our children to know that God is alive. I want our children to know that God transforms, convicts, and heals. That when we worship and pray, that God is present and he cares for us. I want our children to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, that he is here. But how can we do that when our children are not here? I want my children to worship with me. And when there's tears in my eyes, to ask, Daddy, why are you crying? And I want to explain to them, I'm crying because the Lord has touched me today. But my children are not here. My wife is not here today. I missed her. I want worship to be together as a family. That when the Holy Spirit comes, they look at you, father, mother, and I want them to look up to you and ask what is happening, and you explain the movement of the Holy Spirit. In order to do that, our children has to be here. Just like Isaac walked with Abraham, our children has to walk with us. I know children can be annoying, and they are. But we cannot feed them to the wolves because they are annoying. This morning I was at the Family Project life groups. The first word that comes up from Mr. Schwab was, we want to be the bearer of the image of God to our children. How are we going to do that if we don't get to see them at all? That we are here for 2-3 hours in the campus. The only time you meet your children is when you drop them off. How do we tell them we love them? I feel we should at least create a time where we can do that together. And that probably would be when we are praying and worshiping. That our kids are worshiping with us. For 10 minutes, at the most 15 minutes, can we sacrifice our convenience and comfort for the love of our children for 15 minutes every Sunday? Yes. Yeah? In our class, we learned that you say you love, I love Jesus, but I hate children. How's that possible? I love Jesus. I hate my wife. I can't stand my husband, but I love the Lord. We were talking about that. How can we say we love God and we don't love our brothers and sisters? God cannot be wrong for us to come together as a family. This is what we want to do in Santa Clara First Baptist Church. Family is the biggest mission field. And the first missionaries are the mother and the father. We want to equip the mother and the father who are in the forefront of the battlefield, because the enemy is there roaring, going to and fro to devour whom he may. And it always begins with our children, because they are helpless and defenseless at this time. And we as parents, we as mothers and fathers, we as spiritual warriors and leaders of this church must stand in the gap with our children, those defenseless and not protected, and we must protect them with the Word of God, standing with the Holy Spirit of God. Are you with me, Santa Clara First Baptist Church? Are you with me? Yes. So this morning, this is what I want to do. I want you to give a big hand to all the parents that have children and brought their children here. Can we give them a big hand to them? Yes. And tell them that you are doing a great job as a parent. We know that parenting can be very hard, but we want you to know that at SCFBC, we will support you. We will love you. Do not let any parent in this church look to the left, look to the right, back, and feel like they are not welcome here because they have kids with them. Let them never feel awkward in the presence of God because they brought their children inside the sanctuary. Let them not be apologetic and excuse all the time and look at you, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Even though they want to come to church because they feel they will be judged, they will be measured, that they feel reluctant to come to the place where they should be. There is no better place for our children to be than this place, where they can fall, where they can fail, where they can make mistakes, and we are here to pick them up. Can we do that? Yes, we can. Because we know the heart of God. The closest love and the nearest thing to entering into heaven here on earth. Do you want to know? Do you want to know that? Is to welcome the children. You do that, your feet is at the door of heaven. How do you measure your love to God? How do you measure your experience to go into heaven? You receive the little one. You are halfway in to the kingdom of God. God never changes. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, but God never changes. He always keeps His promises. When I was preparing the sermon for the candidating, even for the neutral pulpit, the Spirit of the Lord came to me and imprinted in my heart to talk about rain. Right? That you're going to preach about rain. So I said, "I'm not going to do that." Because do you know that California is having the worst drought? I am not going to talk about rain. But I'm preparing the sermon, and every time it came back to the rain. And I went back to sleep, and in my sleep was Elijah and the rain, even in my dream, right? God's telling me to read Elijah, James, and the rain. So I started preparing the sermon. I came out for the neutral pulpit 4th of July weekend, and I had the first board meeting. Was it on Saturday morning or Friday? It was Saturday morning, I think. Friday morning. We had a great time with the board meet. I had a great time with the board on Friday morning. It was a great meeting for me. I enjoyed. But in one of the meeting, One of your board is Nicole. She's a great lady. She loves the Lord, right? And we said, I just jokingly say it, but I said it because it's in my mind, it's in my heart. And I say, you know what? One of the things you will know that God will do is when I come here, I will bring rain. I'm saying this not for the board, I'm saying it for myself. Okay, it's a test of faith for me because God has been talking to me about rain. So I just said, I'll bring rain. And I said, oh, then please come, Nicole's saying, right? Oh, if just for the rain, just come. And I say, what did I say? You know, what did I say? Then I went back, and the rain has been in my heart. I prepared the sermon again, because in the neutral pulpit, I didn't talk about the rain. Because I didn't want to talk about the rain. Who would talk about rain in a drought? But for the candidating, that's the first thing I said. I brought an umbrella. I prayed for the rain because the rain was in my heart. Then I went back and said, you know, it's going to be really very, very awkward if I don't see rain. What are people going to say? You know, you talk about rain. Where is my faith going to be? You know. So when we get, every day I checked, Santa Clara, Cupertino weather. Sunny sky. I say, okay, rain. Yeah, hallelujah. Then we were starting Tuesday, and I can see the clouds in this area. And the Lord softened my heart and then say, I will go before you. Just as it was. In the Old Testament. The clouds by day. There was clouds in the sky. And I knew, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Then we came here and I was encouraged to see some people brought an umbrella the first Sunday. I was like, are you joking? You know? But the first Sunday there was rain. God watered my spirit and say, you're in the right place. And I said, Lord, that's enough. Because Jerry's already complaining every day. I have to fix the roof. I have to fix the roof. There was no rain. Second Sunday, there was rain again. Monday to Saturday, there was no rain. Sunday, there was rain again. Why does it rain only on Sunday? Right? Why can't it rain on a Monday, on a Tuesday? But it's the Lord telling us that we are in the right place at the right time to serve Him. Tell them, God send the rain. So, I started with, what kind of a God that I serve? What kind of a God that my wife and we serve? What kind of a God that my kids know? It's the kind of a God that loves us as a father, that provides for us, that makes way for us when there seems to be no way, who always shows up on time, who never breaks His promises, and He never changes. That He can swing in the sky and form a cloud and send rain. And that's the kind of God I want to introduce you this morning. The God who loves you, the God who cares for you, the God who will never forsake you, the God who will keep your promises, the God who will take care of your children in this place. Let me tell you, there is no better person than the Holy Spirit to take care of your children. He is the best person. He will never be late, He will never be wrong, and He will never change. He will keep His promises. Do you want to worship that kind of a God? Amen. Let's give glory to Him. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. We're going to invite the worship team to come up to worship to this great God that never changes, that is never wrong, and that is never late. Let's be on our feet to praise and to worship Him. Yes. And pray for your children. Pray for the youth. Pray for the people that God's going to send to our church. That when they come here, we are ready. Because we worship a great God. And I want to say this morning that let us expect great things from a great God to do great things in this church. Let us thank God already for what He is about to do in this place. And you and I are going to be a part of it, and we will be able to see the miracle of God right in front of our eyes. We may not see the water turn into wine. We may not see the dead being raised. We may not see the lame walk and the blind see. But one thing we will see, that many kids, many people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in this church. We will baptize them. We will disciple them. We will empower them and let them go and serve in the world, starting in Santa Clara, in Silicon Valley, and around the world. We will be a church of all nations and for all nations. Amen. Let us give glory to God and sing this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness.